Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God.
Well, we're running a little late, and this, when I did it, ran a lot long. So we're trying to figure out how to... I'll just be perfectly honest with you today. The Lord is still teaching me this. It's still helping me to understand, and I hope that I can adequately convey what it is that He's still showing me, so I hope it comes out halfway coherent today.
Amen.
But I think it's a very important topic. I put in the scriptures that we were going to be, or in the website, that we were going to be in Matthew chapter 6, but I actually want to use instead the other account of the Lord's Prayer that's in Luke chapter 11.
What?
Luke chapter 11. And I'd like for us to read through verse 13. And while you're going there, I'll just talk a little bit about what brought me to this place. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I have a suspicion that I'm not alone. In that, I have struggled with the idea, with the topic of prayer. I grew up in a pastor's home. My father has stood right here and spoken. And we prayed all the time. We prayed before meals. We prayed before we went to bed. We prayed for healing. We prayed for everything. But I began to get disillusioned because God didn't always seem to answer those prayers. And I began to question, well, okay, we're supposed to pray, but we don't know. We can't really know what you want, and we can't really know if you're going to answer. So why in the world are we even bothering? I mean, I'm not alone, I can tell. Why am I praying? Why am I saying anything? Because we get disillusioned. We think that we're praying and nothing's happening. Or we don't understand. We've built almost a mystique around prayer. I've struggled with this for years. In fact, when I was in college the second time, I did a study for somebody who asked me to, and I never finished it. But I was looking back over it in preparation for this, and I was noticing just how dry and academic it was. I had in there all the places that people prayed. I had in there all the different things that people prayed for. I had in there the Greek words and what they meant, which places they were translated. I looked at that and went, you know what? You just need to start over. Because that's not what it's about. Just maybe we misunderstand prayer. Just maybe we don't really get what it's supposed to be about. You know, I think that we as people who have studied the Word sometimes make it more complicated than it needs to be. And not that it's not that there aren't deep things that can be learned by study, and we should all be scholars of God's Word. I don't mean to take away from that. That's important. Especially as we get further and further away from the original language, we need to understand what it's really saying. But what we also need to do is communicate that to those around us in a plain, understandable fashion. Instead of making it some arcane religion that nobody understands and nobody really wants any part of it.
Amen.
You know, when we use the word prayer, I'm just going to make it real simple. When we use the word prayer in our vernacular, all we mean is that we're talking to God. You don't pray to your friends. You don't pray to even somebody that's in authority over you. You pray specifically to God. To whatever you call God. Now, it's interesting to me that it is instinctive within us, even if we don't understand who the real God is, it's instinctive in us to pray. When Jesus taught about prayer, he didn't saying if you pray. He said when you pray. That was already a given. You better pray. He just wanted to give you some instruction about how we should go about it. Why do we pray? I'm going to try to make this quick. Why do we pray? We have some common reasons why we pray. A lot of us have just been taught to. It's part of our tradition. When you're up in church, some churches put a lot of ritual around it. You didn't have a... I remember the first time I saw a kneeling ring, I thought it was a footrest. Didn't have any churches where I grew up. Churches where I grew up, a lot of times they didn't even have pews. So, we do that and say, well, you go to church and that's what you do. Some traditions have you saying rote prayers that you memorized. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think that it can be a lot deeper. You can say prayers of penance. And when we lead somebody to the Lord, we lead them through a specific prayer, right? Well, is it the words in the prayer? Words are certainly important, don't get me wrong. Is the words in the prayer, or is it what's going on in the person's heart? What if you can't speak? Does that make your prayer any less worthy?
No.
Absolutely not.
Mary, this prayer is just always asking that you thank God or something.
Oh, that's a good point, and we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Yes, prayer is more than just asking. Mm-hmm. In fact, we'll get there. And sometimes we pray because we feel obligated. But you know what? I think most of us are praying because we need something. When we think everything's going fine, we don't spend a lot of time with God. We think we got it going on. Now that's not to say that we shouldn't pray when we need something. What does Philippians 4:6 say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wants to hear about our needs. So it's not a bad thing. These are not all bad things. Just different things, just reasons. I think there are some better reasons why we can be praying. The first one, and this is where I had to start, just plain old obedience. It's obvious that the Lord wants us to pray. And I call myself a Christian, and I love the Lord, and I'm trying to serve the Lord, so all right, I'll pray. And I was so tied up for a while in it, and was so inhibited about it, that all I could do was write. And I would write in my journal, and write and write and write. But you know, the Lord did something. And it really had, not that I never prayed out loud, but if I had anything real deep to say, it had to go in that journal, and I've been writing in that journal since I was 17. But I was working on that last Sunday. I was writing in that journal last Sunday, and I was going through different things that I wanted to talk to the Lord about, and I suddenly hit me. You know what? This is going to take a long time for me to write all this down. Why don't I just talk to you? And the Lord began to deal with me on a different level about the relationship that's involved in prayer. We need direction. It's another reason we pray. In fact, if you want to look at what happens when you don't stop and get direction from the Lord, look at Joshua chapter 9. Just to make it real brief. God told them to not make any treaties with anybody around them. And they came in, and they had already won some battles. But some people, they were called Gibeonites, came, and they made themselves look like they came from a long way off. And they had stale bread, and they had all worn-out clothes and saddles and stuff. And they came, and they made a treaty with Joshua. And it says Joshua didn't ask the Lord. But you know what? Turns out those people were next-door neighbors. They ended up being a source of problems for the Israelites. In fact, Gibeon became a very evil place. And you see that play out as you study. But when Israel prayed and asked the Lord about their battles, they won. In fact, it seems If you look at Jesus, before he chose the disciples, the 12 disciples that he was going to pour into their lives and use them to spread the gospel throughout the earth, it says in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, that he prayed all night. Now, you wouldn't think Jesus would need to pray. Why do you think he needed to pray? He lived here just as we live here. Yes, he was God, but he operated here as a man, and he was showing us how to operate. He needed to spend that time in prayer if he was going to operate here the same way that we operate. But again, I want to get to the relationship issue of this. The reason why we're praying, yeah, it's all these other things too, but it's because of our love for God. It's because we want that relationship with him. And it's because we know that he's the only one with the answer for the other people and things in our lives that we don't have any other answer for. And it even tells us, Romans chapter 8, verses 26, even tells us that we don't know how to pray. But that's all right. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit helps us. Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us. It says, and it's taking a little bit of out of context to say it this way, but it remains true that the Spirit intercedes with us in our weakness with groanings too deep for expression. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But we need the Holy Spirit to even pray properly. That's all right. All right, I asked Linda to read this for me. Let's get on to the text. This is Luke chapter 11, and it's a shorter version of the Lord's Prayer, but I actually want to go a little further. I want to go from verse 1 all the way to verse 13.
It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and goes to him at midnight, and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And from inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, suppose one of you, fathers, is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him? Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Would he? If you then bring evil, being evil, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him."
Amen.
Well, you know, I really have trouble understanding it. We're on a short time, so if you want to talk to me afterwards, we can do that.
Okay.
But I want you to see something here. This is Luke's account, and Luke's account is, of course, paralleled by the one that we know better, that's in Matthew, that has more words in it. Now, if Jesus meant for us to recite this verbatim, don't you think that these two would be equal? Now, this, again, I don't want to I'm not criticizing anybody that says these, you know, that it's a good thing to be reminded of the Lord's Prayer. It's okay to recite it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't think that's what Jesus is doing. He's not giving you a formula or a ritual to say. In fact, he's not giving us, I don't think, necessarily a sequence. However, the sequence is the same between the two. So there may be some importance to that. And the reasons are these. We're going to kind of take this apart as quickly as we can and talk about how we spend our time in prayer. Father, hallowed be thy name. You know, particularly in the more free traditions, more open traditions, we get very familiar with God. And he is a friend that's closer than a brother. And we should be able to just talk to him. But I think that sometimes we do forget just who it is that we're talking to. I think that that's what's going on here. We need to be reminded and start our time off whenever we're talking to God, recognizing just who it is. Hallowed be your name. God is holy. God is awesome. Do you realize the privilege that we have to even be able to talk to him?
Amen.
That his Holy Spirit dwells within us, the God of the universe. Have you thought about that? It's just amazing. Hallowed be your name. So time that's spent, first of all, recognizing who it is that we're talking to. That's important. Then we move on to a desire for his will and his reign. Your kingdom come. Matthew adds, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before we get to our will, before we get to the things we want, we need to be asking God, what do you want? What is your will in the matter? How would you have me to act? How would you, what things do you want? I think this is where we pray and intercede for people as we seek to understand his will, as we seek to understand, we know that he loves people. We know that he wants us to pray for people. We know his will is to bring them into the kingdom. So even if you don't know necessarily about his will for any given individual's health or circumstances, one thing you know for sure, anybody that's not saved, you can pray for them all day. His will, his kingdom, ahead of ours. But then, as we've already talked about, give us each day our daily bread. He does want to hear about our needs. He does care. Matthew says, Jesus said in Matthew that he knows about them even before we ask. But he wants to hear about our needs. Now, I think it's interesting the way this is put, our daily bread. I don't know about you, but I don't know that that includes a new Cadillac. Or in my case, I don't know, a new iPhone or whatever. It's not necessarily the things that we want, even if the things we want seem good to us. But it's the things that we need. I think it's interesting that it's only at this point in our prayer, in this prayer, that we find, forgive us our sins. That tells me some. I think what that tells me, and I'm relying partly on messages I heard from my father, but what I think that tells me, this is not sins that we know about. This is not sins that we have already are aware of, because in fact those sins are probably going to keep us from praying in the first place if we don't deal with them. This is after we've spent time with the Spirit, and he's had time to show us, you know what? We got some other stuff we need to work on. Because now as you've spent that time, you've gone closer, you're open to hear from him, and you can deal with those things. And then he goes on also, as we have forgiven those who are indebted to us, And of course, we know that he says in another place that if we're not willing to forgive, he's not willing to forgive us.
That's right.
Other things that we learn from this passage and why I wanted to go a little further than the Lord's Prayer, don't give up. And we know what God is saying here with both of these parables is, you know, these are people, these are human beings, they're evil. But they'll end up doing the right thing. How much more then will the Heavenly Father give you good things? And specifically, Matthew says good things. Luke says specifically the Holy Spirit. Which is what makes me think this is really all about the relationship that we have with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked for him. There's a very important phrase in there, according to his will. When we pray according to his will, then we get what we ask for. So then the challenge becomes being close enough to God that we know his heart and we know his will in prayer. It's some interesting little things, and I'm concerned about time, so I'm going to try to be quicker, but interesting things that he says to pray for that I wouldn't necessarily be on my top list. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute us. Jesus did it.
Yes.
He provided the example. He prayed for them as they were crucifying him on the cross.
That's right. Amen.
Stephen followed his example when he was being stoned for witnessing for Jesus. In Acts 7:60, he said the very same kind of thing. Don't charge them with this. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for our government. Whichever side of the political spectrum you're on, you need to be praying that your leaders make godly decisions.
Amen.
And yes, we can pray for healing. In fact, honestly, I still struggle with this verse. I'm going to read from James. James 5:14-16. It says, it puts it this way. It says, if any among you is sick, then you should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. There's that theme again that we need to get the sin dealt with. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So what gets in the way of our prayers? We just talked about a little bit, sin. God can't be in the presence of sin. We talked about that before, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the bridge. That's the first thing we do talk about, right? The chasm that separates us. Sin makes it absolutely impossible for us to meet God. Well, if we're Christians already, we've crossed that bridge. But when we have things in our lives that we refuse to let go of, we're not going to have very effective prayers. Because of the covenant that we have, God's grace and his blood covers those things that we need to, that we may not be aware of, or that we're still, you know, God's still working with us on. But if we're in open rebellion, we're not going to be able to have a very effective prayer. One thing, if we're really trying to help, if really, and I've dealt with this, The guilt will absolutely make it harder. You ever do something wrong and you knew that your parents knew it?
Yep.
Made it kind of hard to be around them. Kind of want to go hide somewhere. And we know that God knows it. Those things are going to get in the way of our prayer life. I find it interesting that the one place that it specifically talks about our prayers being hindered, husbands and wives. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife right, and women are like this, if you're not treating your wife, husbands, if you're not treating your wife right, your prayers are getting in the ceiling.
That's right.
And I think that because of the way that relationship, that marriage relationship is supposed to represent our relationship to God, is why God finds that so important. We need to have our earthly relationships right. Same reason that unforgiveness is so important. Mark 11:25 says that when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your trespasses.
That's right.
Transgressions is actually what it says. Mix a little King James in there. Doubt will also get in our way of our prayers. And I know that many of us have struggled with this, particularly if you came up in a faith tradition that puts a lot of emphasis on faith. This can be difficult for us to reconcile. But I want to get to that, because whatever happens, we know that we can trust the Lord.
Yes.
And all this says, Hebrews 11:6, just says that without faith it is impossible to please God.
That's right. Amen.
For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We're not going to be able to have an effective prayer life if we don't believe that he is, and that he answers. That he is, that he hears, and that he answers. James puts it a different way. In James 1:5-7, it says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. And God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from God, from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Those things do get in the way of our prayers. Motivation is another problem that we face. We want God to do stuff for us. And instead of focusing on what he wants, we're focused on what we want. James said in 4:3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
No.
We ask and we don't get, and we get mad, just like little ones.
Well, we're going to take care of that right now.
We don't pray because we lack relationship. We misunderstand God, and we misunderstand prayer. Prayer is not a tool to get what we want. Prayer is a tool to get to know God. I don't even know how to put it that way. Prayer is a relationship thing. The Lord wants us to live a life of prayer. All of us talk about him. Ephesians 6:18-20. This is the end of the passage where Paul is using the metaphor of the Roman army to illustrate how we need to live our lives. And this is how he ends that thought. Verse 18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in spirit, and with this in mind, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Or pray on my behalf. Pray for your leaders. This is a pray for your leaders thing again. Pray on my behalf. And I'm not going to try to read all of that, all of that I have here, just for the sake of time. But you can finish that if you want to. Jesus illustrated for us. Did you know that it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that he often went away to pray? And you can see in various places that what it says, he went up on the mountain to pray. But Luke tells us that was his custom. He always did that. And the church followed his example. You can look all the way through the book of Acts and see it. But like Kelly said, is it all about asking for God for what we want?
No.
If you did, you, I bet you every single one of us have had this experience. You ever have anybody, when that phone rings and you see who's calling, your shields are up. What do you want? I know you're calling because you want something. Hey. You may be nice and sweet as candy on the phone, but you are ready for battle when you pick up that phone. Because you know, they want something. They don't talk to you unless they want something.
And they're going to force me.
That's exactly what we do to God. We don't talk to him unless we want something. What kind of relationship is that? I thank God that he is merciful and gracious to us. And he doesn't run away like we might be tempted to do. But when we talk to him, first of all, as we're making our request, as Philippians 4:6 that we read earlier says, we need to be thankful. Thankful for what he has already done. Because as we pray, as we spend time with the Lord, you know, I've gone through all this and I was afraid this would happen. I have totally missed what I really want you to see from this. It's the relationship. It's the time that we spend. How long would your relationship with your spouse last if you never talked to them?
A long time.
I don't know. Some of you might last longer depending on what you say. But you need to pursue that relationship if it's going to be a healthy one. It's the same with our friendships. If we want healthy friendships, we need to pursue them. All prayer is we mystify it and we make something ritualized about it. But all prayer is that time that you spend. And yes, you are petitioning because God is a lot bigger than us. And he has the things that we need and he wants us to ask. But it's about spending that time to get to know him. How can we pray according to his will if we don't know him? Get to know the Lord. That's the real message of prayer. It forces you to stop, to understand, Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to do? It needs to be a lifestyle. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, somehow I managed to miss it. It says, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop. Because we need it to understand his word. You know how many, you've all heard that there are atheists that know the Bible from front to back. God's word is wonderful. It's the foundation for everything that we know. It's the foundation for life. In fact, it's your touchstone for everything that you think you heard from the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, then somebody else was talking to you. So, I with that caution, though, spend time with the Holy Spirit so that he can teach you how to understand what you're doing. some of the best evangelists of all time were not educated men. In fact, some of them were back there with Jesus on that fishing boat.
Yep.
These were not necessarily educated people, but they changed the world. Why? Because they spent time with Jesus. You want to change the world? You want to change just your little corner of it? Spend time with Jesus. You know, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, because even though I take time every morning and I read my little Bible passage and I write a few lines in my journal, I don't spend the kind of time that's necessary to really build the kind of relationship with the Lord that we all need. And that's something I intend to change.
Amen.
We'll get back to it. I'll talk to you after. Because when we do that, we begin to experience. You know, one of the most common complaints, I think, of people that have been Christians and have been trying to follow the Lord has certainly been one of mine. Lord, it's hard to talk to somebody I can't see. I mean, Glenda's sitting over there on the couch. I can see her and talk to her, and she talks back. Why don't you talk back? Well, you know, I really think that God is being gracious sometimes and not maybe talking back to us quite that way. Because with that kind of closeness, with that kind of intimacy, comes a responsibility that maybe we're not ready for. I once went up when I was 18 and had gone through a brief rebellious streak and was wanting to get back right. And I prayed, Lord, I just want to hear your voice. And the man that's praying with me up at the front, I don't know if he was speaking for God or not. I won't dare to say whether it was God saying that or not, but I think it was. Because he simply said, are you ready? You say you want to hear my voice, so you're ready to hear my voice? When he begins to speak to us, that takes us to another level, and then we are responsible to do what he said.
Amen.
Now, you know, I think that's a good place to be, and I hope to get to that place in my relationship with the Lord that he's telling me flat out what to do, and I'm doing it. But you know what? Most of the time, I think we're not ready for that. Most of the time, he's being gracious to us by not giving us more than we can handle. But I also tell you that if you'll spend the time with him, you will experience his presence in a way that you will be able to tell. I'm not going to say he's going to appear to you in the room and sit down and talk with you. Never had that happen. Don't know that many people that have. And I believe even fewer are the ones that say they have. But the fact of the matter is, I have experienced a knowledge and understanding within my spirit that the Lord was with me. But that comes with time.
Yes.
And that comes with commitment to spending that time in prayer.
That's right.
Why is it, and I think the one thing that I want to leave with today, here we are in Christmas season, we're talking about Jesus coming. And we've got all the beautiful pictures and the pageantry and the baby. But that's why we have this. That's why we talk about this. That's why we have the ability. Hebrews, that we've read from already today, 4:16 says that because of what he did, we can have confidence to come boldly to the throne room of God.
Amen. Right.
Thank God for that day. When he came, I cannot comprehend how it is that the creator of all that is, the sustaining power that's still responsible for you being able to take your next breath, would actually show up here on earth as a baby.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing.
Amen.
And then, not only that, but to give himself up in the way that he did, so that we could have this relationship. He has already given it all. We can stand here and we can talk about prayer and we can have that kind of relationship because of what he did. And I would like to urge, I know that everybody in here is for people that we know for the most part, but there's always that chance that maybe somebody hasn't made that decision. And I never want to leave without having at least provided that opportunity. If you don't know what you're talking about, if you don't know what we're talking about, If you haven't made that covenant, if you haven't made that relationship possible, say that little prayer as a starting point that the, we were talking about in Sunday school today. Your prayers are hidden, Savior.
That's right.
You can't have this kind of relationship until you deal with the problem that we all have. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I want to give you that opportunity. And I'm going to quit now because I know we're running out of time. But pursue that relationship. Take that time in prayer. That's what it's really about. It's not about the words you say. It's not about the place you do it. I mean, there are things that you, I could go on for hours and hours of things that the Bible says about prayer, but I think in all that we would miss the point. Just do it. Just take that time. Get to know the God who loves you more than anybody on this earth could possibly.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for that revelation in my own life. Thank you for taking me to it. A deeper level of understanding, for clearing away the misconceptions and the hang-ups that kept me for so long. But just taking that time and just talking to you. And yet, I'm aware that you are the Holy One, the God of the universe, the power that whenever it is manifested, people fall down like dead men because it's so awesome. Lord, thank you that you have made that accessible to us. That we can talk to you like this. That we can come. That we can pray. And if there's anybody, Lord, that needs to have that personal relationship with you today, I pray that you open their hearts so that we can all experience that together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.